Well, just a little while, and we'll be out of the trouble, out of the problems, out of the mess that this world is in. And certainly we, I'm sure, can identify with the mess that our world has gotten itself in. And the reason for that is because they have left the Lord, and many of them not having any idea at all about righteousness or holiness or spirituality. It's a world that is left to themselves. And the Bible says when we are left to ourselves, we always make the wrong choices, the wrong decisions, and go the wrong direction. And we have to have someone to help us, someone to lead us back. If you would take your Bibles tonight and turn back to the 23rd Psalm. Last Sunday night we did the first two verses, and I thought we'd go ahead and just preach through this psalm in these next two or three weeks. The 23rd Psalm, that very familiar passage of Scripture. We noted last week that's probably the most familiar passage or chapter in the Bible. The most familiar verse, I'm sure, is John 3:16. But when you look at an entire passage, this probably is one that has been quoted more, one that's been used more than probably most any in the Scripture. Psalms 22, 23, and 24 are three psalms that give to us a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this 23rd psalm, he is pictured as the great shepherd that leads his sheep and lives for them and gives to us as his sheep the very things that are needed in our life. The 22nd psalm, it points toward the cross. You'll notice there the first verse of Psalm 22 is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that, of course, is one of the statements that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary. So Psalm 22 points to the cross. Psalms 23 points toward his work as a shepherd, as a good shepherd for us, the great shepherd. And then when you look at Psalm 24, it has to do with the coming of the Lord, and he is our chief shepherd. And so the Lord takes many different avenues of being a shepherd. And the 23rd Psalm, he is the great shepherd that cares for his sheep. The Bible tells us the good shepherd laid down his life, but a great shepherd will lead and guide and help us in our walk with the Lord. So let's just read verse 1, 2, and 3. We took 1 and 2 last week. Tonight we'll just be in verse number 3. Well, let's read these three together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Here the psalmist David is giving us a picture and a view of this shepherd that is leading his sheep into places of still water, places of green pasture, and giving the nourishment that's needed and protection that is needed for the sheep. We noticed last week that a sheep really cannot take care of itself. It has to have someone to do all that for them. And we noticed that you cannot drive a sheep. You cannot get behind a herd of sheep and drive them. They'll scatter every direction. But the shepherd is a leader. A shepherd is one that's out before them. And he would have his staff, and he would have those instruments that was used to keep those sheep following after him. And you'll notice here tonight, in verse number 3, he says, he restoreth my soul. There are times that our soul gets sort of in a bad condition. The soul of man is that we deal with ourselves, we deal with God, we deal with the world. And David here, he didn't say he resaveth me, but he did say he restores me. And there's times that we must be restored. There are times that we must have that fresh, new fellowship with our God, because as sheep, sometimes we do scatter. As sheep, sometimes we do get out of the fold, and the shepherd has to come and take us and bring us back and place us in the fold, and he restores us into that good fellowship. Sometimes that restoration is fairly easy. Sometimes that restoration is very difficult. But he restores our soul and puts us into the right fellowship. Sometimes we as mortals, we have a problem dealing with real life and true business of life, and the Lord just has to step in and initiate restoration. We get out of the will of God, and it's very easy to do that. It's very easy to fall along the wayside. And these words here, He restores our soul, are solemn words, and certainly they are a blessed word. It's a solemn message because sometimes we, as we get out of shape with God, He has to get our attention, and sometimes it's a very solemn and very quiet time that God deals with us, and it's certainly a blessed time that God would even care for us. I don't know if I would be a shepherd or not, but I might just say, well, just go do what you want to do, live the way you want to live, go where you want to go. If you want to die out there in the wilderness, just die. But a good shepherd, a shepherd that tends to his sheep, is one that cares about every one of them. The Lord used the illustration of a man that had 100 sheep, and one of them got out of the fold, and the shepherd left the 99, and he goes out and he finds the one that is out of the way, and he's gone his own direction, and the shepherd puts him on his shoulder and brings him back to the fold. That is the restoration that a shepherd would give unto his sheep. We noticed last week that the Lord uses the word sheep many, many times dealing with God's people. In John chapter number 10, Jesus said, I know my sheep. They know my voice. They come at my call. And so He is dealing with people, but He calls us sheep. And therefore we are to follow His call. He said, when we are a part of the fold, we'll not follow after some other shepherd. We only know the voice of our shepherd. And so there is a time when God deals very, very strongly with His people and gets us back into the fold of the Lord. God did that with Israel. God does that with individuals tonight. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea on dry ground. They did that by faith. But they came to a place in their travel from Egypt to the Promised Land that they rejected the Word of God. And they came to that place called Kadesh Barnea. And they sent the spies over and they came back and said, the land is just exactly what God told us it would be, but we cannot do what the Lord told us. We know, and I've said many times, others have said that when the Lord guides us and tells us we can do something, then we can do that. It may be very hard and may sometimes have a difficult way of life, but when the Lord leads us, we can do what He has for us to do. But they refused, they rejected, they rebelled against God. And then the Lord had to deal with them and bring them back into the point where they could go once again. And they came right back. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. It's sort of like marching in time. Sort of like marching going nowhere. That's what they did for 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness because they rejected the Word of God. But the Lord brought them back to that same place. And there they realized that they could do what God had for them. And they, at Kadesh Barnea, once again, they went across into the Promised Land just as the Lord had told them they could. And it's interesting that the Lord had to bring them right back to where they rebelled against Him so they could get their heart right. Sometimes we have to go right back to where we were in order for the Lord to help us to get where we should be. Now there's two different things concerning this first part of this verse, and we're going to try to look at all of it tonight. He restoreth my soul. There's a couple of ways that the Lord restores our soul. And one is a good way, one is a sorrowful way. One is a way by education, one is a way by trials and testings and discipline from the Lord. And sometimes we are self-willed and sometimes we desire to do the things we want and we're not too interested in what God says. But He uses His Word, that number one. He uses His Word to bring us back into the place where we can be used of the Lord. Psalm number 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So the Lord has promised that He's going to guide us. He's going to direct us, and He's going to give us the word of the Lord and the look of God upon us that we can follow the direction that He has for us. Sometimes that word is an unspoken word. I remember when I was a child growing up, my dad sometimes didn't have to say a word to me, but I knew exactly what he was saying to me. That was that unspoken word. And I knew if I crossed that line, if I did what I was not supposed to, I knew there'd be consequences to that. And sometimes the Lord gives us the unspoken word that we have the understanding in our heart by the Holy Spirit that He desires for us to get back into the will of God and to get back into the place that the Lord has for us. In the New Testament, there's a man by the name of the Apostle Peter. And the Scripture says a lot of things about Peter. But one of the things that we deal with in Peter's life is that he denied the Lord. He said, I don't know Him. When the Lord was there being in the garden and the testimonies were given, Peter said, I just don't know Him. And two or three different times they would come and say, are you not one of those that are a follower of Christ? And the Bible says he even cursed and denied that he knew the Lord. But a little bit later, just a few hours after that, the Scripture says that the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Peter remembered the words of the Lord there in Luke 22. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that he had said to him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. There is that word, or that sometimes that unspoken word, that God deals with His children and deals with us. But He does that to restore our souls. The Lord never does anything to defeat us or to destroy us. He does everything in our life to restore us. God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to have a good life. God wants us to do the work that He has called us to do. And sometimes He has to use His Word. And thank the Lord tonight, we have much of the Word of God given to us that we can know that He's there to guide and direct us and to help us. Sometimes the Lord maybe gives us a word of disappointment that we realize we have not lived to the standard, and that we are disappointing the Lord, and it comes to cure our heart. It comes to help us to be restored in the ways that God has for us. He uses the Word, and if that does not work, then He uses what I've labeled here as the woe. He can put the rod of correction upon us. We dealt this morning and last Sunday a little bit about that family that left Bethlehem, and the Lord dealt bitterly with them, and the Lord brought them into that place of fellowship, and God was doing that to restore Naomi to the fellowship that God had for her. And God does the same thing for me and you. If we are hard-hearted and self-willed, sometimes the Word of God doesn't work. Sometimes the preaching of the Word does not do what it should do in our heart, and the Lord is stern in dealing with us, and He talks to us, He speaks to us, and if we continually say, no, I'm not going to do that, then He can bring about chastisement. He can bring about that correction that the Scripture tells us He does to all of his children. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, there's some things in that passage of Scripture about correction. And Hebrews 12:5 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which spoke unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Here the Lord says through the writer of Hebrews, He said, my son. So God deals with us as children. He deals with us as His child, His son, His daughter, His people. And He tells us not to despise the chastening of the Lord. He tells us here that we are not to despise it, but we are to let that work in our life to bring us back, to restore us into good fellowship with God. Have you ever had a friend and got out of fellowship with them? Ever had someone close to you and something got between you, and, and it just wasn't the good fellowship that used to be, and it needed to be restored. And sometimes you have to get together and just talk about what is taking place. And the Lord says here, don't despise when I talk to you. Don't despise when I chasten you, when I get you back into the place where that you are needed. And then he tells them also, despise not. And then he says, nor faint. Don't give up. Don't stop. And so the Bible is very clear that the Lord wants to bring us to restoration. He wants to bring us to a point that we can be in the work of the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But then it says, but he for our profit. We know what profit is. It means we advance. And so the Lord doesn't chasten us as people do. Sometimes people just have pleasure in inflicting pain and inflicting discipline upon someone, but the Lord doesn't do it that. He does that for our profit. The Bible says that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, when I got saved, when you got saved, we became children of God. We are holy unto the Lord, but sometimes our actions are not too holy. Sometimes our ways are not too good, and the Lord brings His Word to our heart to help us, to guide us, to put us in the pathway of righteousness. And if that doesn't work, He brings the stern discipline upon us that we would be able to profit from His chastisement upon us, that we would be partakers of His righteousness or His holiness. So He tells us, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't faint under it. Don't fall under the chastisement of God, and not to faint in that, but to exercise it, to be used of the Lord, and to not despise, but to let it work in our heart, bringing us back unto the place of faithfulness unto the Lord. Now, usually when we read the 23rd Psalm, we don't think about discipline. Usually when we read this psalm, it's not something that we think about, that the Lord is disciplining or putting us into the way. But He says here, He restores my soul. That means there's something wrong. That means there's a problem. And He must restore us. He tells us in verse number 5, not to destroy it, not to faint under it. But in verse number 11 of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Now, I don't know about anybody in here, but when my mom and my dad corrected me, I didn't laugh. If I did, it's going to get worse. I mean, that just wasn't a laughing matter to anybody. And this scripture says here, when the Lord chastens us, He says here, it's for the moment, it's not very joyous. It's not fun to have correction. There's not a one of us in here tonight that love to be corrected. Well, we'll buck up against it. Well, I'll do what I'm I'm saying what I think. I'm doing what I want to do. Don't correct me in that. I'll stand before God. It's between me and God, and we don't want anybody to correct us. But the Lord knows how to correct us. And He does it that He might restore us. And He says, at the present, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Boy, there's a few times my mom, it was grievous when she got through with me. Dad didn't do a whole lot. He wasn't home a lot. He worked all the time. I can remember two or three times my dad whipped me and gave me a spanking, one of them at church for something I didn't think I did. He thought I did, and I guess I did. And then there's one time I remember he said, now, son, don't you swing on that new gate I put up. Well, it was such a good gate. It's one of those long metal gates, you know, like a cattle go through. And he was in there in the barn taking care of things, and I said, I believe I can do this. He'll never know it. I don't know if that thing had a squeak in it that he heard or what, but he came out. He said, I thought I told you not to be swinging on that gate. Well, it wasn't very joyous when he got finished, because he had just fixed it. It had been dragging the ground, and he knew why it was dragging the ground. So did I. I'd been swinging on it too much. And now he catches me, and at that moment, it wasn't too joyous, but it's pretty grievous. And same way with the Lord. He says, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness. The Lord chastens us. The Lord corrects us. The Lord gets us back in step that it might be good for us. And it says here that we might have a fruit of righteousness. Now, in the last part of verse number 11, Hebrews 12, unto them that are exercised thereby. The Lord knows how to wear us out. The Lord knows how to exercise us. The Lord knows how to take toll on us. He knows how to get our attention. But when it's all said and done, it's good for us as we walk in the paths of righteousness. It's not too joyous at the moment. It's sort of grievous. We don't want the correction. But in the end, he says, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Peace, like a river that floods our heart when we know that we are doing the will of God and doing the things He has for us, and we can just have joy in our soul, even though we've gone through a chastisement, even though we've gone through a valley, even though we've gone through a time when the Lord gets our attention and shakes us and takes the Word of God and applies it to our heart. I'll tell you what, sometimes this book here does more to bring sadness in my soul than any preacher that I hear, because this is Him speaking to me through His Word. And I find out I disappoint Him. I find out I sin against Him. And He uses the Word of God to exercise our life that we can walk and have that peaceable fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that doesn't work, then He brings about the chastisement. Notice here in this verse, He restoreth my soul. And then He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leadeth me. Can you imagine going across this country with no road signs, no directions? You come into a place, you don't know how you got there, you don't know where you are, you don't know the name of the place, and we have no leadership. We have our GPSs now, we have our maps. Maps are almost thing of the past, aren't they? I usually have a map with me because I want to know in relationship to everything else, where am I? Now, it may tell me I'm right here, but I don't know where here is. And so we have to have something to guide us and something to direct us. And so can you imagine trying to travel across our country, finding something that we're not sure where it is, but we have no direction? We have nothing to tell us how to get there. Well, the Lord says here, He restores my soul, and there's a semicolon there. And that is there to show us that the next statement is going to explain what He just says. He says, He restores my soul, and He does that so that He can lead me in paths of righteousness. The Lord corrects me. The Lord puts me back in step with Him. The Lord rebukes me. The Lord chastens me so that He might put me back in the paths of righteousness, that I walk according to what He has for me. Restoration. He has restored us. He has put us back into the right place. He has put us back as the shepherd. He has taken us and He has put us on His shoulder. He's carried us back to the sheepfold, and we are restored back to that 99 or that 100 sheep. Now, sometimes the shepherd, if a shepherd had one particular sheep that continually got out of the way and did things and got out of the fold, that shepherd would take his rod and he would take care of that sheep where he would know he wasn't supposed to do that. And the shepherd would sometimes have to break a leg of that lamb so that they would know, and when it healed, they never would get out of the way again. God sometimes has to go through some very strenuous measures so that we can be led in paths of righteousness, so that we don't rebel against Him, so that we don't fight all the time against Him. It's something that we use. I use it so many times with sometimes the children here. sometimes kids never have their will broken. Sometimes it's a hard issue to break a child's will. But until you break the will, they're going to live, they're going to do what they want to do. And it might take some hard discipline and correction. I'm not talking about abuse, I'm talking about godly correction. And it may take some strenuous things and continually over and over. And God has to do that to us so that He can restore our soul to the paths of righteousness. So that we can walk right like we should. And so that we can be not a burden, but be a blessing to people. So that we'll not be sad in our countenance, but have joy in our soul. And in order to have that, we must have the right kind of leadership. And here's the shepherd that leads his sheep. He doesn't guide them. He doesn't get behind them and push them. He gets in front of them and leads them in paths of righteousness. Man is not equipped, as much as we think we are, man is not equipped to direct his own steps. He can't do it. Our steps will always go the wrong direction. Our steps will always falter. We choose the wrong path every time. We'll have our direction mixed up. We get things out of order. We go every direction and we cannot regulate and we cannot do that because we're not equipped to do that. Only the shepherd can do that for us. And he guides us. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 23 in the Old Testament says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. A man doesn't have it in himself to have a way. I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah said, man just cannot do it. It's impossible. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need a shepherd. That's why David could say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's why we could have our position with the Lord and We cannot lead ourselves. We must have someone do that for us. The only way that happens is if the Lord moves in and through the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 10 says, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. God is the one that does that. Man doesn't have the ability to do it in himself and on his own. It has to be God doing that for him. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's impossible. We don't have a built-in radar that tells us which way to go. Sheep have a predisposition to be led. They just have to be led. If you get a herd of goats, you find out you can't lead them. You have to drive them. They're different. And by the way, sheep in this world spiritually are different than goats in this world spiritually. A sheep has to be led. A goat has to be driven. And so we find that David says, he restores my soul. He puts me back in the right spot. He helps me to do what I need to do. He restores my soul. Why? Because he can lead me in paths of righteousness. The path in which he leads. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This present world, right now, we are to live soberly. That means in control. We're to live righteously, godly. We're to deny ungodliness. We're to deny worldly lust. And so therefore, we are being led in paths of righteousness. Titus 2:11 says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness. Verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In those three verses there, you have really the essence of the gospel, you have the essence of the epistles, and you have the truth of the coming of the Lord, the revelation. Verse 11 sets forth salvation, full and free. Verse 12 sets forth our behavior. verse 12 there of Titus, it says, teaching us that we have to be led. We have to be taught. We have to be instructed. And then tells us in verse 13 that we look for that blessed hope in the appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the coming of our Lord. And so we get out of sorts. We get out of the will of God. We really are just a rebel at times. And we are go our own way. And the Lord says, now you don't need to do that. He might use the Word of God. He might use someone else. He might use a preacher. He uses many different things to get our attention. And if we reject that, then he has to revert and go back to the place of chastisement. And all of that is to bring us to this point right here that he can lead us in paths of righteousness. You know, the Lord tonight wants us to be righteous. He wants us to live holy. He wants us to be a good reflection of our Lord. And the only way we can do that is to be in paths of righteousness. And the only way we can be in paths of righteousness is that we many times have to be restored. We are rebels against God. He gets our attention so that we can get in the way, get in the right way, in the right path. And somebody says, why does God do all that? Why does God want us to live certain way? Why do we have to do these things? Why should we? I really don't like the word have to do. Why does the Lord require us to do certain things? The last four words of verse number 3 tell you. For His name's sake. For His name's sake. He's not talking about my name. He's not dealing with your name. He's dealing with His name. And we call ourselves children of God. The world calls us, and that title was given to us as a Christian back in the book of Acts. They were first called Christians at Antioch. And that word Christian, they used it in a very bad light. They were called Christian, mockery, making fun. Ah, they're just Christians. You know, people still say that. And the Lord wants us to be restored into His pathway of righteousness, because He has a name that's above every name, and He has a name that the world needs to see and the world needs to hear. And you know, there's certain parts of this world tonight that only you have any influence in. I don't have it. You have it in that particular part of your world. It might be your family. You might have more influence than anybody else in your family. And so the Lord, for His name's sake, wants you to live for God. It might be my family. It might be your friends. I might not can talk to your friend, but you can. I might not can deal with some of the people you know, but you can deal with them. And there's folks that I can deal with that you can't deal with. And so in our part of the world, God wants us to be restored in the faith and have restoration in our soul, that we might walk in paths of righteousness so that His name might be high and lifted up, and that people might see Christ living in us. That's really what this one verse is telling us to do. The most important part of this verse, I believe, the last four words, for my name's sake. That He might have it here for His name's sake. And so we find that He leads me beside still waters. He gives me green pastures. I rebel against that. He restores my soul. He doesn't, as I said last Sunday night, He don't throw us on a heap of junk and throw us away. He restores us. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to walk in paths of righteousness, because He's got a name that needs to be held up. He's got a name that needs to be honored. And one day at that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Psalms 23 is much more than just a psalm to read when a person's laying on a deathbed. It's a good psalm to read. It's a very comforting psalm. I don't know how many times I've used Psalm 23 in a funeral message. I don't know how many times I've used it at the cemetery. But it's more than a bedside psalm. It's more than a funeral psalm. It's more than a committal psalm. It's a psalm to help us live for God. It's a psalm to help us have the right standing with Him so we can influence our part of the world. I may not ever go to Africa. I may not ever go to a foreign country. But I've got my part of the world right here that I can influence. That I can have something, and I can do something that might help somebody in the work of the Lord. And every once in a while, for me to be able to do that, the Lord has to take me and restore me back into the paths of righteousness. Not because of who I am, but because of who He is. I'm glad tonight the Lord is my shepherd. All for us, He does these things. His name is holy. Ezekiel 36 and 22, therefore I say to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake. God told Israel, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for me. And when the Lord chastens us, He's not necessarily doing it for us other than to get us back. He's doing it for His namesake, that we might be a good vessel for the Lord. Psalm 25:11, for Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What's great? Oh, His name's great. But David said, my iniquity is great. Pardon my sin. Praise the Lord tonight. He does it. He restores my soul. Why? So He can lead me in paths of righteousness. Why? Because of His namesake. All because of Him. Let's stand tonight and thank God that we have a Lord. We have a shepherd that loves us. We have a shepherd that cares for us. And when we're hurting, God knows our hurt. When we're in trouble, God knows why we're in trouble. When we're rebelling against Him, He knows how to help us through His word or through His woe. And it's all because of His namesake. My Father, tonight, thank You for the good message out of God's word. The message of the 23rd Psalm is all because of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. He restoreth my soul. All of these things are because of You. And dear Lord, tonight, one of these days we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank You for this day. Thank You for all that You've accomplished in our hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.